Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another Forza Italian Football Podcast. As ever, I'm your host, Connor Clancy, and I'm joined by my two best friends, as ever. Vito Doria is here, and I'm sure he's happier than most weeks. Vito, hello. How are you?
Look, I'm good, Connor. Although my team did not have the best results, to quote ABBA, in this stage, I feel like I win when I lose.
Are you just trying to, have you got like a personal competition with yourself where you're trying to do quote song lyrics for the rest of the season?
Not necessarily. I just thought I'd add something a little bit different.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. I appreciate it. I appreciate the diversity. Speaking of diversity, look at Kev Pogzielski's face. Kev, hello.
Yes, hi. All
what have you done?
Clean shaven, had a haircut, a little concerned with Vito's choice in musical taste. But pleased to be here.
How is your face feeling?
Not too bad, actually. The wife stares at me a lot.
I can see why. You've not got a normal face, Kev.
No, but it's like she's just checking I'm not an intruder, I think.
Could say some things in response to that, but I'll choose not to. There's been more football, guys, hasn't there?
There has, always.
What did you think of it, generally? What did you think? Good, bad, indifferent?
Lackluster, if I choose a few words.
Well, there's not a lot left to decide, is there? So I suppose the natural place, quite uncharacteristically, to start is at the very, very bottom. Well, not quite the very bottom, but you know what I mean. We're talking about the relegation fight to begin with, because there were two games which mattered. Sassuolo hosted Genoa. Genoa, obviously, just above the bottom three. And Lecce went to Udinese. Lecce, obviously, just in the bottom three. Sassuolo thumped Genoa 5-0. And Lecce came from behind to beat Udinese 2-1. Kev, to send the fight against the drop until the last day of the season. Yay.
Yay if you're not writing the season review for Genoa and you wanted them safe so you could get it done. I have a soft spot for Genoa as a city, and I'd like both clubs to still be in Serie A next year. And although we're sort of looking at a Sassuolo side that are extremely hard to stop scoring, I would have liked a little bit more fight from Genoa. Given how close they are to the bottom now, just 1 point ahead of Lecce going into those final games, which I think they are both at home, Genoa facing Verona, and I've now forgot who Lecce.
Yeah, Lecce hosts Parma, Genoa hosts Verona, so they're both dead rubbers for the away sides.
Yeah, and Well, I suppose which makes it interesting. Just I'm not sure I've got confidence in either side. We'll capitalise on the sides that they're playing, having nothing to play for. They both seem capable of shooting themselves in the foot. So it adds a little bit of intrigue and interest to the final weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll start with the Sassuolo-Genoa game because, Kev, you rightly said that Sassuolo can be quite difficult to stop scoring. I mean, someone very knowledgeable on this podcast has written about them this season to say that you should always watch them because they score quite a lot of goals. I don't know who that was, but I remember he's a regular on this pod anyway. But Vito, you must have been watching this kind of rubbing your hands together because this was Genoa reverted to their early season selves. Because since January, there have been some exceptions, like against Parma. But generally speaking, Genoa have been a little more solid at the back. But, I mean, on what day is it? Wednesday evening, they completely collapsed.
Yeah, it was a pretty huge collapse too. And it is rather similar to what they had been experiencing before Davide Nicola took over as coach. They had that purple patch early on where they brought in some new signings like Massiello and Sumaro in defence. But now they don't look like a team that's really that hungry to fight for Serie A survival. Perhaps they put too many eggs in the derby basket and were happy to get some temporary city bragging rights. But they haven't brought that form into other games. So... And not only that, against a team like Sassuolo that play this swashbuckling football, Nicola should have been better prepared and the team should have had a lot more focus. Whereas, you know, it's given Lecce some hope that they could actually survive.
Kev, how does a team that's fighting for their lives lose 5-0 on the penultimate round of fixtures against a team who have nothing to play for?
Yeah, I don't even think that it matters that it's the, you know, we're going if say Genoa go down, we're going to look at this result and say this was the one because it, you know, it got them within an arm's reach of Lecce. But actually, even if this had come maybe two or three rounds ago, it would have given me concerns because it's just the level of collapse when, you know, they are playing someone with nothing to play for, albeit away from home, and just how there's not even sort of after conceding the first goal a significant period of time really that the goals kind of just keep on flowing. It felt until probably the sort of latter stages by then where Sassuolo were probably taking pity on them. So yeah, I think Genoa fans need to be a little worried that they're not going to be able to reverse this given how quickly the next game is coming around as well.
Yeah, Vito, if you can remove your Lucha Cati colours just for a moment. Genoa do host Verona at the weekend at the same time, obviously Sunday evening, 8:45, as Lecce play Parma. Do you give the Grifoni any hopes of getting all 3 points and ensuring survival?
I'm not going to rule them out completely, but it's certainly not going to be easy. Although Hellas Verona haven't got anything to play for now, they are still a team that's well organized and they're not easy to beat. Where Genoa might be fortunate is that Verona have had some absentees recently. So if that's, you know, if Genoa can capitalize on that and Pandev and Schoen and they got something up their sleeve, then it is possible, but I think it's also crucial that, you know, Perin makes some vital saves, Crisito and the other defenders, they make some really key interventions because, it's not going to be easy. And, yeah, I'm just looking at the team Verona had against Spal, and they were missing Amir Rahmani and Maros Kumbula, and Kumbula has been a sensation this season. So, you know, okay, against Spal, no, Spal already relegated, so Verona would not have been under too much pressure. But against Genoa, and with players like Schoen and Pandev, and if Pinamonti can help them out, then I think it'd be risky to write off Genoa.
Yeah, well, we should say that Lecce are just 1 point behind Genoa at the moment. So, of course, if Genoa lose and Lecce draw, they finish level on points, but Genoa do have the head-to-head advantage because the two games between the sides this season finished 2-2 in Puglia, and then, of course, very, very recently, but probably about six game weeks ago now, Genoa won 2-0 at the Marassi in not controversial fashion, but slightly unconventional fashion, the way they scored their second goal. But Kev, Lecce host Parma. They got the win tonight, and they had to do it the difficult way at Udine. They went 1-0 down, didn't do themselves any favours, but they got the job done.
Yeah, it was one of those places where you just think about it. This time last week, we were watching Udinese down the champions elect to stop them winning the title one game before they eventually did. And it's almost, I was going to say it's exactly to form, but it's what Lecce seem to be doing, picking points up where they're unexpected and wasting opportunities where you would have thought they would have got themselves a bit closer to Genoa or just safety in general earlier this season. Maybe Udinese thought that they're better off with Lecce in the league next year, fighting with them for relegation than Genoa, because they didn't seem to show the same type of appetite that they had against Juve.
All right, well, in a word, who's staying up, Kev, Genoa or Lecce?
I think Genoa might do it drawn on points with the head-to-head. I think Genoa will lose, but Lecce will draw.
Do you understand what a word is?
Yes, but when do I listen to you?
What's your Twitter handle again?
Indeed.
For those who don't know, it's at rabbit on for a reason. Vito, in a word, who stays up, Genoa or Lecce?
Genoa.
Oh, did you see his face when he said that, Kev?
No, because he paused when you... he froze even.
Oh, okay. So can you see me right now?
No, I can't see you. I can see Vito licking his lips.
I'm not licking my lips.
You were about half an hour ago. So
maybe I will take a photo and add it to my...
just put it alongside a picture of Luis Muriel. Anyway, let's move on, guys. Because like I said, there's not actually all that much at the top end to talk about because everything was done and dusted. So we'll start with the game. I'll say start. We'll move on next to the game that I was at because it was quite entertaining eventually. Parma hosted Atalanta, the final game at the Tardini this season. Dejan Kulusevski's final home game at the Tardini. He put Parma 1-0 up. Atalanta didn't come out in the first half. Atalanta came from behind to win. And Vito, Atalanta do what we know they do. They completed another comeback to win.
Yeah, they did, and you'd have to think that, you know, the game that was only 2-1, you'd think for both sides there probably could have been more goals. But I think this game is probably about, two protagonists for both sides. I mean, eventually the Ducali lost, but Kulusevski had a fantastic game. The goal he scored was a bit of a scrappy one, but he had the chance to score another fine goal early on, and then, you know, Ladea, they made the comeback, and then it took a piece of magic from Papu Gomez to win the game for the Bergamaschi.
Yeah, well, right, that moment from Papu Gomez, Kev, look, we all know what he's capable of, but sometimes he does something that you don't even expect from him, and to do that in the 85th minute when he looked dead from the fifth was remarkable. I don't want to focus on that specifically. As good as it was, I'll just say he picked the ball up, 40 yards from goal in the 85th minute, ran straight at the heart of Parma's defence, which was packed by now because they had brought on everyone to just pack the box. Nutmegged former teammate Yasmin Kurtic on the edge of the box and then smashed it in with his left foot from the edge to seal the points. But Papu Gomez, he's a serious, serious contender, if not front runner for Serie A player of the season this year, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can't even discredit him with, you know, if Atalanta don't win a trophy, Because, you know, the only other real domestic trophy that Juventus don't usually pick up is the Coppa Italia, which has been won by a Napoli side that had no standout performers. And we spoke about it before that the Bergamaschi have been the standout performers long before probably the lockdown. And he's what sort of, I was going to say knits them together. Obviously, Ilicic plays a role doing that as well. But he's clearly the man they look to. You know, 85 minutes, like you say, dead on his feet. Although I will say that Atalanta did what they do a lot. As another side's tiring, they still look relatively full of running. And he did get a bit of luck with the goal where it clipped the heels of Kurtic as it megged him and kind of it allowed him to run around and then take the strike. But yeah, you can't think of many others that have done what he's done over the course of the entire season. We spoke last week about Dybala's impact to Juve's title. But yeah, over the course of the season, I think he would certainly get my vote unless someone could argue a stronger case from elsewhere.
I mean, it'd be hard to. He's got 16 assists this season and 7 goals of his own. That just doesn't happen. And I mean, the assists aren't the only chances he's creating either. He puts the ball on a plate for his teammates so often. And they do miss quite a lot of chances. For all the goals they score, they could have like thrice as many if they put them all away. But no, he's a phenomenon. Vito, same question for you. I think Papu is someone who I tend to talk about a lot on the podcast, but I rarely give you two the chance to praise. So would you have him as your player of the season as well?
I would, simply because of his overall influence on the Atalanta team. We talk about how he scored those goals and provided an abundance of assists. And he just creates that presence in that team. Despite his diminutive stature, he is that guy with the experience, the quality, and he does have that shrewd football brain as well. So for all the praise we've given Gasperini in the past for his system, his philosophy and all that, Papu Gomez, he's the guy that pretty much runs the show on the pitch. So I would give him the play of the season. And my second place would be Ciro Immobile for the abundance of goals he scored for Lazio. But with Immobile, as important as his goals have been for the Biancocelesti, there are times where he can have off games. And also, although he's important for the goal-scoring feats, I don't think he's that sort of presence in that squad in the same way Papu is. I think Papu is more influential in the whole build-up in the play, whereas Immobile, being an out-and-out striker, is more the guy that puts the icing on the cake for the Aquile.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. I don't think there is any player in Serie A as important to the team as Papu is to this Atalanta side. And he just keeps showing it. He keeps adapting and changing. But on the other side, you did have the player that, despite being on the losing side, was the focus of what I wrote this week, Dejan Kulusevski. And to be honest with you, I'm very, very, very disappointed that was the last time I'll see him play at home for Parma, because there have been few things I've enjoyed more this season than watching Kulusevski play every week. He is an absolute joy. And the opening line of my piece was that Dejan Kulusevski deserved more from his final home appearance at the Tardinian. Again, he was phenomenal. Atalanta started with three centre-backs in Palomino Caldara and Sutolo. All three got taken off. And Palomino went off injured, but Kulusevski had given him the runaround before that. Sutolo went over, Kulusevski destroyed him, and every time Caldara got near him, Kulusevski just skipped by and embarrassed him as well. But he is an absolute phenomenon, and as Kev has just like brought attention to in the chat, there was a moment where he controlled the ball with like the back of his head, and I have absolutely no doubt, having seen him play in the flesh at home 18 times this season, and that's not counting the away times I've seen him as well, I've absolutely no doubt he meant it. He's magic. there was a nutmeg on Robin Gosens as well. He's just an absolute phenomenon. An absolute phenomenon. And I'm really, really going to miss him, Kev.
I think, on your point about the control, I actually think he was trying to duck. But, you know, it was still ingenious to do that because, I don't know, other players might halt their stride and sort of try and step aside of the ball or, you know, whatever. But, the Kulusevski's really, really impressed me to the point at which we were doing our team of the seasons for the site. And I put him in my front three, possibly ahead of Ronaldo. Don't shoot me, Juventus fans. But then, you know, talking of Juventus, it just worries me. You think you get really excited watching him play, thinking, oh, you know, how much further can this lad go? And then you realise, oh, he's going to Juventus. You know, you don't get that usual feeling like, oh, I wonder who'd come in for him. I wonder if he, you know, if a side from outside of Italy might come and take him and pick him up. And I just hope he doesn't go the way of many other players that have picked up too young by big clubs, not just Juventus. So it'll be interesting to see how they utilise him next year.
I take your point, but I do think he's an exception because, I mean, the statistics bear that out as they are, right? I'm just going to read some of the things that Opta sent us after the game, which is that Kulusevski is the first foreign player to score double digits in a Serie A season before the age of 21 since Mauro Icardi and Eric Lamela, two pretty good players. Edin Kulusevski is one of only four players in Europe born this century to score double digits this season. The company he's in, Mason Greenwood, Manchester United, Erling Haaland, and Jadon Sancho, pretty elite talent. And he's got 10 goals and 8 assists this season, making him responsible for 18 goals. It's the highest number of goals a Parma player has been involved in since 2004. Normal players don't hit those levels. Even normal, promising young players don't hit those levels. And something that I think separates Kulusevski from most normal young players, I say normal, most talented young players, is his mentality. And you can see it every time he plays. Just like, I mean, follow the kid on social media. He is a winner. And he is just going to fit into that Juve team so, so well. He never stops running. He covers a ridiculous amount of ground. It doesn't matter if it's in the first minute or the 91st minute. He is the freshest set of legs on the pitch, irrespective of what substitutes have come on. He's a Swedish kid and he's playing in 40-degree heat now. And he's still destroying people in the 93rd minute, as we saw against Atalanta on Tuesday. And on top of that, he's just got this incredible competitive edge to him. There was a moment at the end where he got the ball on the byline and beat a couple of Atalanta players, squared it, and Dermaku came in and shot, and his shot was blocked. Kulusevski was fuming. Bearing in mind, this is a game that meant nothing for Parma. Kulusevski just attacked one of the advertising hoardings around the pitch, completely destroyed it, and you could hear him shout. But he's a special, special talent, Kevin. I do completely take the point, but I have absolutely no doubt that he is ready for this step up.
Do you know what the downside to everything that you've just sort of rattled off there?
Go on.
Is that it's just going to make Juve even stronger.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, that confidence you've got in how far he can go, wouldn't it be nice if he'd strengthened one of their challengers? You know, if Atalanta had kept hold of him, if he'd gone to Inter, if he'd gone to Milan, I don't know, it's like... Unfortunately, yeah, that's the other thing. You think, oh, okay, good. Then he's talented enough that he's not gonna have a wasted career sort of trying to break in or being given bit parts in the Juve side, but they're just gonna get stronger and stronger.
I do agree with that, and I do think he is just gonna take them up another level, especially if Sarri's there as well, because he fits so nicely into that style. But yeah, it's annoying. I do want to address, a lot of people keep thinking, oh, he's gonna go on to be the next Bernardeschi. He's not Federico Bernardeschi. Kulusevski, honestly, watch him. A lot of people are commenting on him, having seen Parma play 3 times this season. I've seen him play probably more in the flesh than anyone, particularly anyone from the English-speaking media. And I promise you, he's twice the player that Bernardeschi was when he left Fiorentina. He's three times the player Bernardeschi is now. But yeah, Kev, I do take the point. And if you look at the team that sold him, right, Atalanta, he's a perfect replacement for Ilicic. And Ilicic has got quite a serious health issue, which is going to see him out of the rest of the season now as well. He would slot into that team so perfectly because he has all the technical ability, the creativity, the vision, and he's also got the discipline and the work ethic that Gasperini demands as well. It is quite strange that it never quite worked for him there and Gasper never quite trusted him, but maybe he's just matured in the last year, which you could understand given he was, 18 when he left Atalanta and, 19 when he left Atalanta. He's 20 now, so it's understandable. But, yeah, Dejan Kulusevski, I love you. I'm going to miss watching you every week and it's going to be heartbreaking to see you guide Juventus to the Scudetto next season. But that is absolutely what is going to happen because he is a phenomenon. And if not, you guys have every right to say anything you want to me in a couple of years if he flops, because he's not gonna. Anyway, second place is a straight battle between, well, it's not actually. It's still between Atalanta-Inter and Lazio, because Atalanta and Inter, of course, play each other on the final day. So if they draw and Lazio win, Lazio takes second. But Inter, Kev, they beat the team that I mentioned. No, Vito, sorry. They beat the team I mentioned accidentally, Napoli. But the Partenopei are an interesting case because they've switched off since winning the Coppa Italia and they've got the Champions League in a week's time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Their form hasn't been impressive since the Coppa Italia victory, and I'd like to think that, that they are putting their eggs in the Champions League basket because Barcelona are still a strong side to go against despite the off-field issues and the inability to win La Liga this season. So I doubt the Partenopei are going to be complacent against Barca. So hopefully this latest run of form in Serie A is just more them having their minds elsewhere as opposed to them really not getting into the gear of things.
Vito, do you think it's possible, though, to do that thing where you just like switch on and decide, okay, now we're up for it, because they've kind of been coasting for a while. So to switch on for a Champions League knockout tie is not the easiest thing to do.
In general circumstances, I would agree. Not many teams can switch on in a flash, but this is where Italian teams can be a bit funny or unconventional, that you think they're in a bad patch of form. They get written off by the fans and by the press, and then all of a sudden, everything just clicks into gear. And also, being a cup competition, it's just one of those things with cup competitions. It's just, it's sort of, you got those 90 minutes to really decide your future. It's not like the league where you got just got to play game by game. It's one of those things where on any given moment or on any given day that you just elevate yourself and your mindset's better and everything else clicks for the team. So, yeah, it might be possible.
Okay, but they finished 2-0 to Inter. Lautaro Martinez scored the second, and I don't know if you saw his celebration. He gave it the you talk with a hand gesture. But I mean, people were right to talk because he's been pretty rubbish since the Barcelona speculation.
But yeah. I kind of hadn't put two and two together with the all the speculation around the move to Barca, but I did see him do the gesture after he sort of hit that strike, and I thought, well, come on, lad, I think you've scored. The stat I had the other week when I was doing player ratings for Inter, but is it once or four times since he hit I think it was when we were Sampdoria, and I mean, he hit a brace at the start of the season, and he'd only scored four goals in total since then domestically. And all that early promise, whether he was partnering Lukaku or Sanchez early in the season, he seemed to be the common denominator that could work with both of them. And, you know, the goals just dried up. So it's not what you want to see, maybe, when someone's had an obvious poor run of form and, you know, they necessarily feel that they're being picked upon by the media. Maybe that he should have just ran back to the halfway line and tried to get another as quickly as possible.
Sampdoria hosted Milan. They lost 4-1. What happened to your boys here? Ranieri doesn't lose by 4-1.
It's a rare occurrence for him. But bear in mind, early in the season, we lost 5-1 to Lazio and also 5-1 to Fiorentina under him. So either way, he's probably been breaking some of his own bad records. We can ponder about the what ifs. For instance, Gonzalo Maroni had a tame penalty saved by Gianluigi Donnarumma. And then there was the Norwegian starlet that scored a lovely long range goal. Let me get his name again. Sorry, listeners. Christopher Eskildsen. It was a fantastic shot by him. So if that penalty went in, would have gone back to 3-2. But I think Milan really deserve credit for the run of form they've had since return of the pandemic. And without sounding like too much of a broken record, Ibrahimovic and Calhanoglu have continued their good form in recent games.
Yeah, Kev, Ibra's too good for Milan to let him just walk away.
With what they're probably likely to be able to bring in, and if he's willing, then yes, keep him. I'm going to leave it there rather than be negative and just say
that, you're okay.
Well, yeah, I'm feeling positive. Maybe it's the lack of facial hair and I'm feeling like a new man, Connor. So if Ibra's going to stay, let's face it, if he's going to go and play in the Swedish league, there's something there, obviously, because it's the country that he was born and grew up in. I'm going to probably have got that wrong with the born part. But you know, quality-wise, he still wants to be performing at this level. And Milan are also going to have European football. So stick around, Zlatan.
Yeah, good. I like new positive, Kev. Probably on a short-term basis. But anyway, there you go. Lazio beat Brescia 2-0. Ciro Immobile now within what? I think he's two goals off or one goal off the record from Gonzalo Higuain. I think he's one goal off, two to beat it.
Yeah, to beat it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But obviously, the narrative is, as our very own Alistair McKenzie pointed out, he's going back to his hometown, Napoli, to take on the Partenope, and he's got the chance to beat the record, which is currently held by Gonzalo Higuain. So it's, as Alistair said, it's too good for him not to do it, right?
Yeah, it's like it's something that's written in the stars, as people would say. Well, it's just, it's destiny. So I think it would be an interesting narrative if Immobile can end up scoring 37 goals for this season. So yeah, quite impressive. And even if he doesn't break the record, I think it's still a fantastic achievement on his part to be still stuck on 35, because he's equaled the previous record, which was held by Gunnar Nordahl, the Swedish striker for AC Milan in 1949-50. So at least he's in that top three for goals scored in the season. So that will still be an achievement. But yeah, I think it would be even better if he actually does go on to beat the record. Just instead of being that sort of, he nearly got there, at least say he did get there. So that would be much better.
There you go. Roma beat Torino away 3-2. Our friend Chris Smalling scored. Edin Dzeko, Amadou Diawara got the others. Again, no goal for Andrea Belotti. Kev, you have cursed Il Gallo. So apologies on Kev's behalf to Andrea Belotti and all Torino supporters. But Roma wore their new away shirt. And I have to say, Nike have smashed it out of the park again with Roma's away shirts. To their credit, they deliver every single season with home and away for Roma. And next year is no different. We discussed the home shirt last week. But Kev, you're quite a fan of the away kit, I see. So I've got a bone to pick with you.
Yeah. Because
you would identify as something of a traditionalist, right? You don't very much like change.
A little, yeah.
So why are you praising Roma for completely changing their crest?
Well, they've kept the crest on the home shirt.
But it's Italy, so they will wear the away shirt more often than the home.
Well, they're Roma also who seem to wear their away kit more than the home. But, yeah, I don't know that. But is this a return to a traditional badge?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So probably being uber traditionalist in liking the return to just the wolf's head.
But you like the kit, yeah?
Yeah, I'm quite a fan of sort of minimalist style, you know, and a bit of a collar. My only problem with that, when, you know, my younger days when I used to buy more football shirts, was for something that just looks like a polo shirt with a couple of logos and an advertisement on it, is it worth the I don't know what they retail at now, about €70, but yeah. I could probably be tempted, a bit like my Columbia shirt when it goes down on sale in a couple of years.
What's quite impressive about the Roma shirt is that it's not actually white. It looks white, but it's not. And I saw a couple of like edited versions of the photo, whereas if the shirt was white, it wouldn't look half as good as the slightly off white that it is. It's an amazing piece of work. If you've not seen it, go and search Roma's two kits for next season. I'm excited about the third. Given the standards they showed this year, next year should be something special as well. But Fiorentina, I mean, their game meant nothing against Bologna. They won 4-0, and Federico Chiesa scored a hat-trick. It's nice of him to start delivering, Vito, once the games don't mean anything.
Oh, well, it was about time that he added something onto the score sheet, because he has that raw talent, but one of the things really missing from his game is goals, not just assists. He's really got to have that direct score involvement to really improve as a player and to really show that he is a superb talent. So, cool question, the quality of Bologna's defending, especially with one or two of the goals at least. But I think on a technical level, I think there were still some fine strikes. And Kulusevski in the previous round, he scored a nice bending, curling goal. So I really love those type of goals where they just bend into the top corner. So, yeah, really enjoyed that. And, just hopefully, at least for next season, he actually tries and replicate that sort of form, because he does have that talent. He can be one of the best Italian players of his generation, but he's got to stop showing in patches. He needs to start delivering and needs to believe that he can be the difference maker.
Yeah, well, James Horncastle pointed out on Twitter, actually, quite a nice statistic, which is that Federico Chiesa has followed in his father's footsteps, obviously Enrico Chiesa, by scoring a Serie A hat-trick. They are now joining the Mazzolas, Sandro and Valentino, in the father and son hat-trick stakes. Both father and son scored hat-tricks in Serie A and Kiev. It's a nice little statistic.
Yeah, it's probably nicer than some of the others that people roll out. You know, your general ones for, you know, a bit like Ciro Mobley's, the top scorers and things. And Chiesa is very much in that sort of the other side of the Kulusevski bracket where you would watch him and think, you know, can he kick on if he goes elsewhere and who might go in for him rather than we know where he's going and off to Juve. But I think he either needs to get away from Fiorentina or have a really big year for them next year. But
Kev, what do you actually think of Chiesa? Because he's often criticised for having no end product. And I think too often that is true. His end product is lacking. But then there are some people who will fight to the death to protect little Federico. Alistair McKenzie wrote recently that he's been misused at right wing back this season. But he's also been used on the right of a front three a lot. And he's never really shown to deliver on the potential we all thought he had. So is Chiesa just like benefiting because he was promising when he broke through? And is he ever going to reach the levels that people expected him to?
I think part of the issue is that he's clearly talented. He's full of energy. So he gets around the pitch a lot. So you see him a lot. He's always on the ball. I mean, he's clearly aware of his talent, but then with the lesser talents around him, potentially does too much. And when we're talking about him being wasteful, now I don't have the statistics in front of me, but sometimes it's because everything goes through him, whether that's sort of everybody looking to pass to him or him trying to go out on a loan, then maybe his conversion ratios, you know, looks worse than others. And if you put him in a better side, maybe with better coaching, there is something to be said in choosing when to sort of run, press and harry opposition and doing that with the support of your colleagues. So you're not, you know, doing everything. And that's where I fear he's going with Fiorentina. He'll stay there continuing to be that big fish, but never really having those around him to fully get the most out of the talents at his disposal.
Fair enough. Elsewhere, Cagliari beat Juventus 2-0, but Vito, I mean, does this matter at all?
No. Juve have the title wrapped up. And for Cagliari be just no more than just a bit of pride just to say that they bet Juve. So at least that's going to look good for them in the record books. And the kid that was involved in both goals, Luca Galliano scoring the first and then providing the pass for Giovanni Simeone for the second, he'll definitely have a game to remember.
I'm happy Simeone scored. I quite like him, but I've never been so indifferent to a scoreline before than seeing this win. But Kev, I do think you actually want to chime in on Juve.
Well, it's on Juve. It's on Inter. Because there's watching games at the end of the season when there's nothing riding on them, and we'd call it probably an end of season feel. You've now got this additional where it's quite obvious in some cases that we're watching games at the end of the season, but also a season that is going to be 38 games, but it's going to run over 12 months. And the players are clearly not necessarily just tired, but disrupted by the sort of how long the season's dragged on for. And then when we were talking earlier about Inter doing this, I think actually this is where the format of the European competitions this upcoming month could actually help those sides that, you know, like Juve, like Bayern Munich in the past, where they've had their leagues wrapped up or they've had their domestic position wrapped up for so long that when it comes to sort of playing in European competition, they sort of lose a first leg of a quarterfinal or a semi-final towards the latter end stage of the season. Whereas this now allows them to almost down tools, as we probably saw with Juventus tonight, and actually focus on this sort of little mini tournament, providing Juve get past Lyon, where you've not got to worry about away goals because the quarters and the semis are going to be over one leg. and you've just got to focus on beating your direct opponent, not maybe having a strategy for being away and strategy for being at home. So I think while we're seeing them sort of lower their efforts for the final few weeks, I can see exactly why they are doing it.
But it's kind of what we were saying about Napoli. You know, it's easier said than done to just down tools and then pick up and be ready to go in a Champions League knockout game, particularly against Lyon, who themselves have been preparing for this Juve game for the last 6 months.
Well, absolutely. This isn't just a benefit to Italian sides. I think everybody going into that knockout tournament. But we've seen Juve fall at either the final hurdle or the sort of semi-finals because they've probably wrapped up their league and the intensity's down. Whereas, actually, I think this format, for those clubs that are in it, are left in the competition. Maybe slightly less so for the clubs that have still got to play a last 16 tie or a tie where they've got to overturn a deficit. But once you get in there, I actually think, even though it is difficult to sort of lower, it's almost no different to what they were planning for when the league restarted. I know Juve were a little bit sluggish at the start, but I think it almost makes this the quarterfinal stages, once we get to those teams in the Champions League and the Europa League, more even than probably ever before.
Mm. Yeah, well, Juve have to get there first, right? They're 1-0 down from the first leg against Lyon. Obviously, no away goals either. So if Lyon score, it's one of the few games left where away goals could play a big part. Obviously, as you said, after that, they don't count for nothing because everyone is away. But, right, the other game was... Verona beat Spal 3-0, but really, does Verona even care about that? I'm not so sure, so we're not going to talk about it. We're going to move on to the game, boys. We've had some feedback. Kev, were you about to say something?
No, I'd forgotten about the game, and so I was talking to myself, but my mic is on.
Well, you like this game, don't you?
I prefer it. Like is strong. We're only two.
We've had some feedback. The same person who said they quite like the new game also said bring back the old game. So I don't know what the people feel. But anyway, if you like the game, let us know. If you don't, let Kev know. I'll still agree with you. So, you know the rules that I'm going to tell you a fixture. Vito is in the lead because he won last time. So Vito gets to decide which of the team's starting 11s he would like to name. And then Kev names the person who successfully names the most of the starting 11 gets the win. Pretty self-explanatory, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, guys, you know the rules. Show me your hands. I need to see this. But not just for now, while we're playing the game.
Well, I like to write.
What?
I like to write.
Yeah, well, I know, but the way Vito sits, it's...
We've already addressed the fact that I can't see what either of you are doing anyway. Vito could be doing whatever he likes. So at the moment, I've got him froze, looking like he's about to sort of suck on it.
Okay, Kev. Well, yeah, but I can see you both, right? So
okay,
I'm the referee too, so it doesn't matter what you can see. If Vito's paid me, you don't need to know about that. He's not paid me, so don't worry about it. What?
Give me the teams.
Relax. Mm-hmm. Right. It's a very, very recent one this time because Kev is very grumpy. So,
and you're drunk.
I'm not drunk. Excuse you. We're going back to... I was drunk. We're going back 2 years to the 22nd of April 2018. It was a game at the Allianz Stadium in Turin where Napoli of Maurizio Sarri went up and beat Massimiliano Allegri's Juve 1-0. And it made us believe for the slightest of moments that there was a title race until I believe Napoli went on and lost the following week and Juve won the title, despite Napoli getting 91 points, the highest tally anyone has ever gotten and not won Serie A. It was crazy. So Kev, no, not Kev, I don't care about you. Vito, the question for you is, whose 11 would you like to name, Napoli or Juve's?
Napoli.
Okay, right. I see why you've done that. Okay, so I'm not going to say yes or no until the very, very end, but can you name your 11 please.
Okay, I'll say Pepe Reina in goal. The back line, I'd go Hussai, Albiol, Koulibaly, Ghulam. No, actually, can I cross that one out? Or is that fine?
I have to accept the first name you say.
All right, Ghulam. All right, fine. I think that was the year he did his knee. But anyway, all right. Midfield, Alan, Jorginho, Hamsik. Frontline, Callejon, Mertens, Insigne.
Okay, thank you very much, Vito. Okay, Kev, you have to name the Juventus team from that day, please. And as I said, I think you named about 13 players last week. So behave yourself. Think before you speak.
Okay, I didn't realise we only had to do the 11. I thought we had a minute to name as many as we could, and then you were going to just tick them off.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to assume Buffon in goal. Lichtsteiner, right wing back. Bonucci, Chiellini, and possibly Barzagli, given the importance of the game. But it might have been a bit late for Barzagli. Asamoah on the left. Pirlo. Pjanic. Let's go Dybala and Higuain up front. And then there's one other player. And Marchisio, unless he was injured. I think that's 11.
Okay. It's not 11 points. Right.
Evra might have been there, actually.
Who?
Evra.
Right. He's not, anyway, so don't worry about it. Okay. The Juventus team, I think you're thinking about 2016. They played a 4-2-3-1. So it's unfortunate immediately for you. I'm going to name 10 of the players and see if either of you can guess the right back on the day. But Gigi Buffon, three of the back four were Benatia, Chiellini, and Asamoah. Holding midfielder, Sami Khedira, Miralem Pjanic. The three behind Higuain were apparently Douglas Costa, Paulo Dybala, Blaise Matuidi. And the striker was Gonzalo Higuain. Can you guys name the right back?
It's going to be Caceres, is it?
No, I would have given you a point if you said it. It was, do you remember Huedes, the German?
Oh, no.
He had that short spell.
Benedict.
Benedict. One of his few games came in that one, shockingly enough.
I went too early there. I went about 2 years early.
Yeah, you did. You did. I think even just 1 year early, maybe. But Kev, you finish on a total of, unfortunately, 6 points.
Oh, well.
6 points. Vito got 10. So the only mistake Vito made, he tried to correct as well. So Mario Rui did play at fullback on the left. The team was Pepe Reina, Hussai, Albiol, Koulibaly, Mario Rui, Alan, Jorginho, Hamsik, Callejon, Mertens, and Lorenzo Insigne. So it's 2-0 to the Doria. Kev, how are you feeling?
Fine.
You don't seem fine.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the prize, so...
You what?
I haven't seen the prize that Vito wins, so until...
He's already got it. Vito, hold up your prize. It's there. You've been drinking out of it for the last couple of months.
Well, I can't see him anyway. So
you've not got one anyway, Kev, because you're a loser.
And then
comment from Kev.
Kev, you okay?
I've been called a lot of things in my time.
You know I love you, really, right?
Yes, you're crushing my new positive spirit.
Right. Look, if it makes you feel any better, Kev.
Go ahead.
If it makes you feel any better, Kev. If it was a Premier League one, I would have a lot of issues. So, yeah.
Oh, I might. I only really watch my team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, any more for any more?
No, all done.
All done. I think we're back on Sunday night.
Penultimate game week.
Yeah, the penultimate game week, but not the penultimate pod. So we've got two more, boys. Round 38 review and then the season review as well, both to come next week. So listeners, we will speak to you. Well, we'll speak to you on Sunday. You'll hear us on Monday. So See you soon.
Ciao, ciao, everyone.
Que no se siente caliente, los muchachos de autogol, el papu con DJ Matrix y Ricky Joe, let's go, let's go, goleador,
vincere questo fantacalcio.
Grazie papu, grazie, 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 grazie.
Come lo ringraziare? Fale con me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.